Stand by, Jerry Saul Show. 5, roll tape. 4, cue Jerry. 3, bring audio up. 2, stand by. 1, play intro.
Stay tuned for the Terry Saul Show, Saltissimo, on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. I am your host, and I am so glad that you joined us this morning. Today, our special guest, author Linda Richardson. Is it Richardson, or is there a D in it?
Richardson,
not Richardson.
Richardson.
Okay, mm-hmm. I got it. Richardson. How are you, Linda?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing,
Harry? Doing okay, you know. Are you a local gal?
Yes, I am. I live here in Salem.
Do you write books?
I do.
What kind of books you write?
Romance, mystery, fantasy, novels laced with a little bit of magic.
What kind of magic? Yeah, you said laced with a little bit of magic. What kind of magic?
Well, just a little bit of, of good magic.
Okay.
Fun magic.
Okay. All right. How long have you been doing that?
For about 8 years now.
What made you get started writing a book?
Well, let's see. I was coming home from work one day, and the idea just popped into my head.
I'm going to write a book?
Well, no. The idea of what I wanted to write, just something happened, and I was just thinking about this crazy idea, and I called up my sister, and we brainstormed about it, and then that next weekend, I went and I, like, wrote 5 chapters of the book, and that's how it got started, and my sister, she kind of helped me for a while, a little bit at first, but she got it put on a big project, so then the whole baby became mine. And
I wrote a book, but I'm not done. I do stand-up comedy. I wrote a book about an incident that happened with us, forming on stage and stuff, and I wasn't sure how to write a book, and I called a friend of mine in California who's written a couple of books, and he told me, he says, well, start out by making the chapters. Is that how you do it? You write the chapters, and then the book, you just kind of piece around the chapters?
Yeah, that's how it starts, but then I think that as you're writing the chapters, you first have to have the characters. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have to have something to mold the story from. You have to have those people that are going to be with the entire book, and they're going to make the book. But as you go along and you write and you keep writing, the book kind of takes on a life of its own and kind of writes itself, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool. Of course, there's roadblocks that, you know, you stumble on. But, you know, once you get going, you know, at least with me, I just find ways to make the chapters come alive and the characters doing crazy things. And it's just a really fun.
Now, are your books fictional or non-fictional?
My books are fictional.
You don't write anything about what's happening right now, what's really going on. You're kind of doing, I don't want to say make-believe, but kind of creating your own storyline, right?
Yeah, there's, my books are all done in the setting of Oregon, right? The
really?
First book goes down the coast. There are some things that I can reference, and it's also, it starts out in Portland, then goes to the coast. There's some things I can reference and some things I can't.
Okay.
You know,
have you always wanted to be a writer?
The funny thing is about that is not really. I wanted to be a country western singer because I love to sing. But then,
what's
it's
your
like,
favorite song?
Oh wow, you had to ask me that, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, because the band is in the back room here. They're about ready to come out, and you're going to just wail one out for them, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, like that's not going to happen.
No, it's not. I like country. I'll tell you
yeah.
that. I like country songs. So.
Who do you enjoy listening to?
Wow, a gamut of people. I like listening to
Kelly Pickler.
Yeah,
I opened for her.
I mean, that's what I heard. Yeah,
yeah. She's a character. Carrie Underwood just had
yes.
a baby.
Yes.
Yeah, sweetheart of a gal.
Yes.
How about Marie Osmond?
No,
she's a little country.
Yeah, but I didn't know she sang songs. Does she?
Are you kidding?
Oh yeah, she does, doesn't she? That's right. Yes, Donnie and Marie. Yes.
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 She's a sweetheart.
Blonde
she's,
moment.
Apparently, for crying out loud. All right. So before we get into some of your books and stuff, tell me a little bit about yourself. Other than the fact that you wanted to be a country singer, tell me a little bit about yourself.
I was born in California.
Whereabouts?
In Sonoma County area.
Wine County.
Yes.
Smothers Brothers are from there.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
There you go. See, you come in here and I teach you things.
You do. I'm really learning
I'm
a lot
you.
From you, Terry.
I was
really
born
am
in
today.
San Jose.
Oh.
Born and raised in San Jose.
So you come from California, too.
That's right, but I don't tell anybody.
Yeah? Oh, well. You know what?
Thanks for spilling the beans.
We moved from California when I was around 5 years old. Mm-hmm. So I've been most an Oregonian, but I still have a piece of my heart in California.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a California girl.
Do you ever get back there?
Yeah, I do because I have lots of relatives back there.
Yeah.
Yes, on my real father's side, I have lots of relatives, cousins, and everything. And
we get back to San Jose just long enough to say, what are we doing back here in San Jose? Let's get out of here. It's crazy. Very expensive. Very expensive, and it's just very crowded.
Yeah, my dad lived in Marin County, and that's very, very expensive down
yeah.
there. But most of my relatives live in Santa Rosa. Yes, so.
Well, that's good.
And they went through that fire that a couple
of years
ago.
Yeah, I had a cousin
ago.
That lost everything in that fire.
Yeah.
Lost
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
She went to work one day wearing her tennis shoes, jeans, and a T-shirt. And when she came home, that's all she had left.
Oh, my.
Lost everything.
Oh, my. What
that
a tragedy.
Was, yeah, that was rough down there. That was rough.
So sorry to hear that.
Anyhow, let's get back to you. So
oh, yes,
you were born and raised, you were born in Sonoma. You came up here. Where'd you go to school up here?
I went to school at Sprague.
Okay, so you're a real local girl.
I am. Sprague High
and
School.
And you graduated a few years ago.
I did.
And
just
married,
a couple
years ago. Married and children and...
I married my high school sweetheart shortly after, my mom passed away. We did have a tragedy in the family. She died when she was 42, so that was very sad. And so moving right along with my life, I married my high school sweetheart, my first love, and we were blessed with the precious baby boy, redheaded. And as of today, he's made me a proud Navy mom of
nice.
14 years.
Nice. That's great. We just had our first granddaughter, a little over a year and a half ago. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway, I was, I married my second husband who has three children,
mm-hmm.
and they are a blessing in my life as well. And they have gifted us with seven grandchildren
Whoa.
And one great-grandchildren.
Whoa.
Yes, and a little bit my own self is that I retired
from
the state
mm-hmm.
of 38 years, 2 years ago. But I was a glutton for punishment as I went back to finish up a project. And now, as of April, I will be fully retired.
Good for you.
So it was kind of like I was able to ease into retirement. And now I'm
yeah.
ready for full retirement. And I am going to be doing, I want to spend more time with the family, the grandkids, do
you
book
know,
signings.
You'll find out that when you retire, you're busier than
oh,
you
yes.
were.
Oh, yes.
I worked for the radio station across town for 24 years, and they forced me into retirement. And I thought, okay, I'm done in radio. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, you know, I kind of miss it. And this station came along and says, hey, you want to come back on the air? And I jumped at it and haven't looked back. It's been a lot of fun. So you don't really retire. You really just kind of change what you're doing.
A new phase in your life.
There you go.
Yeah.
A new chapter.
A new chapter.
A new chapter in your book.
Yes, in my book of life.
So you've always wanted to be a writer?
No.
No?
Remember, I wanted to be a country western singer.
Well, yeah. I know, but that wasn't going to happen.
Well, no, that wasn't going to happen.
Do you do karaoke? Do you do karaoke?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
Yes.
So if I was to whip up a karaoke music here, you'd belt one out for us?
I know.
Okay.
But, you know, as I look back, though, when I was growing up, I did like to write songs just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like to, like, romanticize words and sentences and write something clever in cards.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe it was there all along. I didn't see it. They say that when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. And maybe God had a plan, and it just happened that way, and it was just time. And I've been so blessed with how many people have been placed in my life to, you know, take me on this journey.
Do you have a lot of support from your family?
I do have a lot of support.
Can you tell the listeners, basically, what inspires you to write a book? How do you choose what you're going to write about?
Wow, that's a good question. Like I said, well, the first book, you know, was just there. And so I just went with that same series. So my next book, you know, at least I had a beginning and I knew what I was going to write about.
Okay, what was your first book about?
My first book?
Yeah. Not ready to go there yet?
No.
All right. This is your show. You tell me when you're ready to go there and I'll do it. I'm just sitting here looking for a warm body for 50 minutes. That's all.
No. My first book is about Serena.
We're not ready for that yet.
Okay, we're not. We're not going to do that.
I'm going to mess with you this whole hour.
Oh, you are. Are you going to cut some of that out,
nope,
I hope?
Nope, it's all in.
Oh,
it all stays
it's
in.
All
we're live.
Oh,
it's
wow.
All live.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's get back to my question. And the question was,
what inspires me?
What inspires you?
Okay, well, you know, humanity. I'm going to say that. You know, I want to write a book, and what inspires me is people. And so when I'm writing my books, I want the people in my books to seem like they're real. I want them to be able to connect to the reader. I want them to have the emotions and experiences that they are feeling, and get some more involved in wanting to read and stuff. And I want to take situations.
How do you know when that's happening? When you're writing, how do you know that they're getting involved?
I'm getting involved.
Okay.
I get very emotional when I'm writing my books.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting involved. I know that from other reviews and stuff, people say it's like they're right there with the character, like they're right in that spot. You know, because I try to not have them do far-fetched things, but what I like to do is I like to take them and I like to put them in a situation and I want to explode that situation. I want to make it add more humor or add more drama. Make it fun. Make mm-hmm. it adventurous. Make it different. There's a lot in my books. I've done that, and they're pretty hilarious little escapades that happen.
Are your books happy books, or are they books that could get a little heavy?
My books are easy reading, fun. They're happy. They are happy. They tickle the funny bone, right? And they'll lend a tear, and they'll bring out the emotions, you know, when they need to be. They don't get deep, you know.
Why is that?
Why?
Why?
Because I don't experience, I don't, you
know. You don't want your readers to read that?
You know, I really haven't really got there. I want a reader just to be able to just have fun, read the book, and just escape for a little while. And nothing heavy. It just easy, fun-filled books. That's what I like to read.
How long does it take you to write a book?
Well, that's a really good question. The first one took 2 years.
Really? Okay.
But it morphed into two books.
Okay.
I had to cut, by the request of my business manager and graphic artist, I had to cut it in half. And that's not any easy task, because you can't just cut the book in half, say, okay, this is one book, this is another book. You have to smooth out the edges, give some cliffhanger to the first book, and the second book, you have to figure out a way to get all the characters and the plot into that book without taking all the 250 pages from one book. And you have to do that in like the first couple paragraph or chapters,
mm-hmm.
because somebody's got to be able to pick up that book and to be able to read it without having to go back to this book. the first book.
And we're almost out of time here, but can you pick up the second book without reading the first book and understand where you're going?
Yes, you can, but you don't want to. You wouldn't really want to do that. I mean, you can do that because you're going to miss all of the adventures and stuff that Serena has in store. You know, it's just there's so much fun in that book.
Linda, we're going to take a break. Our guest today is Linda Richeson. Am I getting this right?
My books are under Linda K. Richeson.
Okay, well, we'll get to that. Just hang on a second here. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Terry Saul Show on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM.
Hi, this is Marianne. I mean Dawn Wells. You know, if I had a radio on that island, you know who I'd be tuned into? Terry Saul.
Welcome back to the Terry Saul Show. Today's guest is author Linda Richeson. I'm going to get that name right before we're done here today. Richeson K.
No, Linda K. Richeson.
Linda K. Richeson. By the way, when you whisper, thousands of people can hear that whisper. You're fun to mess with, you know? You're fun to mess with. All right, Linda K. I'm going to put a big K here, real big, so I'll keep calling
you. You get that right, Terry.
I'll learn it.
All right.
And then I'll teach you my real last name, see if you can figure that one out.
Okay, you do that.
All righty. Let's talk about your very first book. Tell me about your very first book.
Okay, my very first book was...
How long ago?
Was 8 years. 8 years ago.
Okay.
8 years ago. And
you were driving in the car, and all of a sudden you got an urge to write a book.
Yeah.
How did you know what you were going to write about?
The idea just popped into my head.
Okay. What was the idea?
The idea was about a spirit that was trapped in a book, and that's how it started from there.
A spirit in a book.
Trapped in a book.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
I do not know how it happened.
Okay.
I do not know
what
inspired it or what caused it.
Well, tell me about the book.
Okay. My first book, my first baby, was in my first series, and that is the Spirit of Love series.
Okay.
The first book is The Heart of Souls, and it's about Serena, and she's this young, quirky redhead.
Okay.
And then after a traumatic breakup with her fiancé, she agrees to take over her late aunt's bookstore in Astoria. So she lives in Portland, she packs up everything, and she moves to Astoria. And she takes over she lives above the store. Just luckily her aunt had a place up there. And so she took over that as her residency, since she's new in town and stuff. And then she encounters this spirit. And so from there, so she thinks that she's going to have this relaxing place that she can heal from her heartbreak, right?
Okay.
After this tragic breakup. But it's a different story, because when she gets mixed up with that spirit and you add a sexy contractor in with the mix, her world turns into a whirlwind adventure mixed with romance, mystery, magic, and mayhem.
How does the contractor get involved with all this? Is he mixed up with the spirit, too?
No. And okay. I wouldn't tell you if he was.
Why wouldn't you tell him? Because you want me to read the book.
Because I want you to read the book.
Okay.
He happens to be a friend of...
Of who?
A friend of her sister's. But she doesn't know that at the time. But anyway, he sometimes, you know, gets... Oh, how does she really get involved? Yes. You know what? It's been a while since I read this book. Right?
You wrote the damn thing.
I know I wrote the book, but I'm 5 books into, you
all
know,
right,
this
right.
story,
all
right?
Right? All right?
So anyway, she decides to take over the ownership because she was still on the fence.
Okay.
And she runs out the car. She's got her books and stuff out there. She wants to take some notes and all of this stuff. Well, she slips and he catches her. And so that's how they...
The contractor catches her.
The contractor's out and he catches
her. Now, did the spirit make her slip?
No. The spirit. At that point, I don't even think she knows there's a spirit there yet.
Oh. All right.
Yep.
And so what happens?
Well, you have to read the book.
Well, you haven't even told me the name of the book yet.
I did, too.
What?
Heart and Souls.
You never told me that.
Heart and Souls.
Heart and Souls. Heart and Souls.
The first book of the Spirit of Love series is Heart and Souls. And anyway, together they must overcome the challenges and conquer mistrust, deceit, and battle the unknown in order to help free the spirit.
Is there deception involved?
Yes, a little bit.
I like that word.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yep.
So then moving right along to my second book.
All right. And what's the name of that one?
That's Lost and Found.
All right. Heart and Souls, Lost and Found. We got it.
And Lost and Found is a continuation of
Heart and Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What happened with that is, and how that came about is, like I said, we had to cut the book in half. Right? I had to cut the book in half. So Lost and Souls became the next book. Okay.
So wait, at what point do you realize, okay, this is where I can end this first book? Because your business manager says it's too long. So at some point you have to end it, but you can't just really leave people hanging there, can you?
Yeah, you have to smooth out the edges and you have to put some kind of cliffhanger on it,
okay,
right?
Okay.
You know, when this happened, I tell them that I didn't do this intentionally just to get them to get the next book. But they do have to read the next book for the ending. Yeah, but it wasn't done intentionally. It's just okay, I've been a new writer and I didn't really know, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I just had to read through it and decide, okay, this is where it's going to be cut off. This is a good place. We can move on from there.
Okay. So you cut it off and you pick it up the next book, which is called Lost and Found.
Lost and Found.
All right. What's that about?
Well, that's just a continuation journey. Right, they get closer to solving the clues, and you know the chemistry heats up between Cliff and Serena. And
Cliff
is
a contractor,
which is the contractor. Yes.
Now, does the spirit have a name?
Yes, James.
The spirit's a James.
His name's is James. Yes.
Well, who's Serena?
Serena is the quirky redhead.
Okay, got it. I'm with the program here.
You got it now?
I got it.
So you won't need to read the book when I'm done. You'll know all about
there you
it,
go.
Right?
All right. So James, Serena. No, wait a minute. No, Cliff. I'm with you. Cliff and Serena are the ones that are going to have the little fling.
Correct.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. And James is the pesky little spirit.
Okay.
Right? And
But Cliff can't see James, can he?
No.
All right. Well, don't look at me like that. I'm just asking the questions, lady. No.
Yeah, but you can't ask the questions and parts that, you know, I don't want to answer.
All right. Well, just tell me you don't want to answer it.
Okay. No comment.
Okay. We're done. All right. Well, that's good. So, no, keep going. We still got about a minute left to go here.
Okay. Anyway, they need to overcome, she has to overcome her fears and also the sting of betrayal again.
Oh.
She was betrayed by her first one, and now she's betrayed by her second one.
Mm.
And then it's a race against time to beat the clock to free the spirit. And
all
that's
right.
My first book.
Well, that's part of the second book then, too.
Well, yes, my first two books, yes.
All right. So the second book ends how? By the way, you just told me?
Yes.
All right. Now, the third book, does that pick up or is it continuing like, you know, a soap opera or what?
No, the third book is in the same series.
Okay.
So we do have another spirit, only in another form, and we have two new characters. But I've carried Serena through most of my books. She gets further and further, less noticeable in each one, but I've carried her through, kind of keep the reader, oh yeah, through Serena.
All right. Linda Kay, I got it right.
You did.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
We'll be back with more with Linda Kay, our author and our guest today. Back in just a moment. You're listening to The Terry Saul Show, 104.3 FM, 1220 AM, KSLM. Back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Doc Nelson. You're listening to my buddy, Terry Saul, Saltissimo, on KSLM, 104.3 FM or 1220 AM. KSLM, Salem's first radio station.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry. You're on.
Hey, this is Terry Saul, Saltissimo. I am so glad to be back on the air, and especially here at Salem's original radio station, KSLM AM and FM. Now, the incredible management team here at KSLM has given me the green light to not only air my show on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., but now, in case you missed it, you can tune in to Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for an encore broadcast. Now, if you miss both of them, I invite you to go to my website, www.terrysaul.com, and check out my podcast to listen to any or all of my past shows. Now, if you do that, well, I think you've got too much time on your hands. I have a lot of fun and exciting guests in the upcoming weeks, and we may just take this show with us on the road. So join us weekends for The Terry Saul Show, only on Salem's original radio station, 104.3 FM and 1220 AM, KSLM. And today we're talking with author, local author, Linda Kay. Hello, Linda Kay. How are we? Are we doing okay?
I'm doing great.
All right. You need some more water? Everything fine? You need some more water or anything over there?
I'm doing great.
All right.
The last name's Richardson. We forgot that part. You got the K right.
You told me not to use that part.
No, I didn't. I said just remember my middle name. That's the
gosh, do we need to play this back? You told me I introduced you as Richardson, and then you said, no, it's Linda Kay.
Linda Kay Richardson.
Can't you just change your name to Mary Smith? That'd be so much easier for me. All right. You are an author, and you've written, how many books have you written?
I have written four books and published four books, and I'm almost through with the fifth book, which is scheduled to be out in early April.
All right. How do you know when a book is done?
How do I know when a book is done?
No, I ask the questions. You answer them. Don't repeat the question. How do you know when a book is done?
I just have to decide, you know.
I'm done?
No, because when I write my books, a lot of times I lay out what is going to happen if there's going to be a villain. You know, what is going to be the climatic, you know, shift? I have all those down, and then I kind of know how I want the ending to go. It's just that I have to realize that I just can't go on and on and on and on like I did the first book. You know, sometimes I have to
So do you write the ending fairly early in the writing of the book? Do you know how it's going to end?
Not always.
Really?
Not always.
Do you run it past your family and say, hey, what do you think about this and that? Because, see, when I wrote my book, I wouldn't let anybody read it. I had a couple of people that were publishers that read it, but I didn't let my family read. They still haven't read it.
Oh, my family reads my book. My husband's never read any of my books, but my family has. My sister has. My granddaughters have, and they really like it, and a lot of friends have. My neighbor across the street, she's very helpful because she does read my books.
Do you write in your books any of the characters about anybody in your life?
No.
So when I read Heart and Soul and Lost and Found, it's not about anybody that's come through your life.
No, but you know what?
I knew there was a but.
No, yet the funny thing is that my friends, when they read it, they find me in Serena and in my main character. So somehow I must reflect myself into that person.
Okay. Let's get on to book number three. Tell me a little bit about book number three. What's the name of it?
It is called Spice and Sassy.
Oh, now we're talking.
And it's a fun one. It really is. I mean, I love all my books. It really is. This was a really fun one to write. It travels along the coast of Oregon and explores the trail into some treacherous terrain.
Okay.
I'm trying to say that three times fast.
You had trouble saying it one time slow.
I know it. Anyway, so it's about this young fairy whose spirit is trapped in the house, and she causes so much trouble for the new owner, Matt, and his new friend and his friend Rosemary.
Okay.
Rosie.
How do you come up with names?
I don't know. I just choose them.
No previous boyfriend or girlfriend from school or anything? Just
Okay, well, Rosie.
See, I knew it.
Ask?
I knew
did
it.
Did you ask?
I knew it.
I have a friend named Rosemary, right? And, in fact, she is sort of the model of my third book.
Yeah.
She is my graphic artist took her younger picture and her now picture and kind of merged them together and smoothed them out. But I don't use Rosemary. I use Rosie because I'm not writing about Rosemary, but she kind of is the image of her. So,
see, in my book, I got a friend named Guido, and his real name is Guido. And I got to be careful what I say for him because I value my kneecaps.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so go ahead and tell me about book number three, which is Spice and Saucy.
Sassy. Yes. So the spirit, Lily, doesn't really care too much for Rosemary because she has this kind of a daughter-father relationship with the owner. Not really. She thinks she does. She wants to have it.
Okay.
But, you know, he doesn't really want to have anything to do with that. That's kind of weird to him. Anyway, she has the mentality of a teenager because that's when she died. So she's got this sassy, pesky attitude. The fun thing about her is she has the ability to channel her emotions into electricity and electronics. So she gets mad, angry, she blasts the TV, blasts the radio, and the one thing she loves to do to get at him, at Matt, is to set off the security alarm, because that usually means that the security company comes.
So,
okay. You know, so she's a lot of fun. So this book is a blend of mischievous pranks, strong wills, and sassy attitudes. It's a mystery that it does follow along the Oregon coast, and it goes to, oh, shucks, my gosh, I'm drawing blank. I'm really sorry. The coast over by Oceanside. It's that. It's
Garibaldi or Garibaldi, whatever that's called over there.
No.
Seaside.
No, it's
Oregon Coast.
Oregon Coast.
We'll just say the Oregon Coast.
Oregon Coast,
there
yes.
You go.
Anyway, there is a state park there that
Fort Stevens?
No. It's
Oregon Coast.
Yes, let's just go with Oregon Coast.
Okay. So far, that's the
I'm really sorry. But anyway, a lot happens there in that. In fact, that's kind of the main area that this all gets started at and where it ends up at. So it's pretty exciting. Anyway, it's a mystery that they team up together, look for the clues, and to help Lily find her way home.
Does she find her way home? You're not going to tell me, are you?
I'm not going to tell you that.
Because you want me to buy the book.
I want you to buy the book.
Okay.
Got to
make that car payment, don't you?
Yes. Definitely
All right.
have to.
So that's book number 3, which is called Spice and Sassy.
Yeah.
Now you've got, we've got about 6 minutes left here. You can tell me about your last book?
Yes, I am. And then my fourth book is the start of the series of the Histories and Mysteries series. And it's funny how that all came about. Histories and Mysteries.
Okay. Well, I like that.
Uh-huh. And how that all came about was I was at the Marion County Fair and I had the honor to sit next to Jerry McGee. And he is a local author here in Salem. I mean, and he's wrote these books called It's a Long Way to Oregon. He can tell you the last names of just about everybody in the Oregon Trail.
Really?
Uh-huh. And what really fascinated me about his books, because I did buy one, is that people were really intrigued, and they stopped by, and they were, you know, excited about the history. And so what happened was that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my regular romance mystery fantasy novels, right, blend them with a little bit of Oregon history.
Hmm.
And so that's been a fun challenge because, you know, I've tried to figure out where I want that to be and how much I want to talk about that, but just give a taste so that the reader kind of familiar with that area. And so that's really been fun, and it's been fun to research. But anyway, this next book is about steps back into the town of Shanico, a ghost town. And that is...
I'm not familiar where Shanico is.
Shanico's over in Central Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it steps back into... It's where the past and the future, or the current...
And what's the name of this book?
This book is called Charm and Chills.
Charm and Chills.
Mm-hmm. And it's about big city girl, Nina. She's all about city. And cowboy Josh, country through and through. So they have their total opposites. But somehow they team up and they step back into the history of Shanico to solve a baffling mystery. But, of course, you're going to have the spirit who, in all the books, in a different form, is
You always
going
have
to...
these spirits, don't you?
Yes, I do. They're fun.
Are they in all your books?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
In different forms.
All right.
And you see them in different forms, and they communicate to them in different forms. It's
I think there's one in this room right now.
Yeah, there might be.
I could be.
James could be hanging around here. He could be. Anyway, there always be the spirits that entertain, you know, and there's always hilarious escapades, and I always, you know, add some drama. But also, I try to keep you on the edge of your seat, and then as the story builds and the clues are discovered, and then danger arises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you don't want to miss this book.
Okay, and this is called Charm and Chills.
Charm and Chills.
So your books are Heart and Soul, Lost and Found, Spice and Sassy, Charm and Chills.
Mm-hmm.
It's always three words, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yeah.
And you are writing another one right now?
I am.
And what's that one called? Or do you know yet?
That one is the second one in Histories and Mysteries. It's Red Wine and Black Roses.
Okay, Red Wine and Black Roses.
Mm-hmm.
And what's this one about?
It keeps to the same genre as the rest of them, right? It's about Maggie, who's a model, and she mistakenly gets taken for a person who can connect with spirits by this elderly gentleman, right? And
okay.
He wants to, and he thinks that she's the real deal and wants to hire her to contact her brother,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because he has some important papers that he knew where they were, and he needs to find out what they are.
Hmm.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. But he doesn't know that she's not what she thinks she is, or that he thinks she is. Of course, you'll have the steamy romance with a lawyer.
No, wait, who's this lawyer now? The lawyer came in, and we got about a minute and a half to go here, if you can hold it together. Who's the lawyer?
Oh, my. I feel so terrible. Okay. Anyway, so joining the spirit is this lawyer,
mm-hmm.
right? He lives in the same house as the elderly man. It's the elderly man's grandson.
Okay.
And
Let me ask you a question. You're a strange lady. In all the places you've lived, did you ever have or think you ever had any spirits living in any of your houses? Because you sure write a lot about them. Did you ever have any that you thought, you know, one of our mutual friends has a spirit that lives in her house? And I'll tell you about that when we get off the air. But did you ever think that you had somebody? See, I think at one point in California I did.
I did, though. And I know that this is like, you know, letting a lot out, but I did have an invisible friend when I was younger because I was an only child for 5 years.
Okay.
Clarabelle the Clown.
What the hell do you come up with these names?
I don't know.
Clarabelle the Clown.
Clarabelle the Clown was a real clown.
Okay, so it was Bozo, but I mean, you're not naming anything Bozo the Clown, are you?
Well, that would sound stupid.
We're going to take a break. I need to go have something to drink here real quick. When we get back, we'll be more with Linda Kay Richeson. See, I got the whole thing this time.
You did.
You're listening to the Terry Saul Show on 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. We are KSLM. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Lonnie Anderson, and you're listening to Terry Saul.
We're back in 5, 4, Q Terry, 2, 1, you're on.
This is Donny Osmond. You listen to my friend Terry Saul. By the way, have you seen Terry lately? He is dropping weight like crazy. I think he thought I was serious when I told him if he reached his goal weight by the time he came to Las Vegas to open for Louis Anderson in August, I would teach him how to sing Puppy Love. Whatever. Okay, so here's the deal. Terry's wife, Patty, emailed me. Terry is singing in the shower. Oh, that can't be good. Here, Terry, have some pizza and a cheeseburger, please.
Welcome back to our final few minutes today. Our guest is Linda Kay Richeson. Hey, I got it right this time. She is an author. She has several books out, Heart and Soul, Lost and Found, Spice and Sassy, Charm and Chills, Red Wine, and Black Roses. That one sounds interesting. Are you gonna write any more books?
Yes, I plan on it.
Okay, there you go. You answered the question.
I've got some in mind.
All right. What can the readers expect in your books? What do they expect?
Well, they can be guaranteed. I hope they can be guaranteed anyway to have a fun-filled and entertaining time in the books. And the chapters, I try to leave a cliffhanger. I like to make it an easy follow along. I don't do a lot of jumping around, kind of like your questions.
All right.
Anyway, I try to avoid confusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there'll always be the twists and the turns, but I always like to get the readers back on track. You know, I've read books before where, you know, sometimes that there's just too much going on for me, for myself. I mean, they're still good books. I just have a hard time following them sometimes.
Okay.
And I wanted to make sure that that didn't happen in my books. And the spirits, they will usually cause havoc. The human characters will usually be down to earth and kind of live normal lives, but they might be gifted with a special gift. There will most likely be three main characters. They'll be described pretty fully because you're going to follow along with those, and they'll probably be about six, I call them kill characters, and that is relatives.
Kill characters?
Co-characters.
Okay.
Meaning
right.
They're like relatives.
Got it.
Like friends, acquaintances that are going to pop in and out. So I'm going to give you a description. You're going to know them pretty well. And of course, then you'll have the semi ones. And I call those the ones that make cameo appearances, like baristas and, you know, bartenders and clerks and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
They still play an important part, but they don't have to. I don't have to describe them as well. You know, because they're just going to be in and out. Then I hope the reader will feel like they are walking along with the character, and that's what I hope that they do. And what I also try to do is not have a black hole, and that's what I call it. I want the reader to walk into a room or a place or anywhere, and I want them to, by my description, by using the five senses, the sight, the hear, the smell, the taste, and the feel, I want them to be able to relate to where they are,
mm-hmm.
and be able to form their own image. Just give them enough to do that. That's kind of what I definitely don't want them to walk into a black hole.
Got it.
That's what you can expect in all my books, in my writings.
So what happens when you finish a book?
Oh, wow. You know, it's kind of bittersweet.
Is it really?
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been with those characters, and not in a, you know, a weird, like, psycho way, you know, they're not like, but they've been in my head for, like, you know, sometimes it takes me a year to write the book. And they come out. I play with them, you know, time to time when I have a time to write. And then they go back, but they're always there. I kind of make a connection with them. And so when they are gone, or even I become emotional at the very end of the book because I'm saying goodbye. You know, we're ending everything.
Do you get emotional at the end of every book?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
I really do. Yeah, I do. And so that's kind of, but I've carried Serena through the book, so that's kind of nice to bring her back. But the other side of that, I am excited to write my new book and meet my new characters and define my new characters and form them. And by that time that I'm writing the end of the book, I'm probably into two chapters into the next book. Anyway,
really?
So I've already met the characters. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to move on and you know, breathe life into that story.
Now, when you're sitting at home with Mr. K. Richardson's, and you guys are sitting around there watching TV, maybe you're talking, does he mention something that might be a character, and you go, you know, that could be, I might just write about that.
No, that hasn't happened.
So he's
happened.
Not helping you at all?
No, not really. No, he hasn't happened. And I don't really talk too much about the books with him. He's just not, you know, into that type of books. But he's supportive.
Right.
Yeah, but he's just not into that type of book.
All right, so when the book is done, then what do you do? Do you proofread it a few more times? Do you make any more changes, or do you leave it the way it is?
Oh, wow. When it's totally done? Because it goes through a process to get there.
What's the process?
Oh, wow. There's just a lot. There's like, you know, you have to do a lot of the editing. You have to get your cover designed and all the insides, and it does to have it all put together, which I'm really happy that I do have somebody that does all that.
I was going to say, who does that? Do you do that yourself?
No, I don't. Rick Sutherland, and I met him. I have never met him in person, but he lives in Texas, and I met him through a friend, and I just, you know, send him all the information, and he puts everything together. But I do have an editing team that I really love that. It's a husband and wife, and they voluntarily edit my books, and so I've been blessed with that. So,
and then who publishes the books? Are they actually in hardback? I mean, are they, what are they?
They're softback.
Okay.
Right, and I self-publish them with help of him through CreateSpace.
Through Create?
CreateSpace.
Okay, what is
which
that?
Which is connected to Amazon.
Okay.
It's just an affiliate. But now the Amazon is moving over, or the CreateSpace is moving into more of Amazon. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to be phasing out. But
do they create the books as people buy them?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't have to go out and spend thousands of dollars buying thousands of books.
No, but when my books do get done, I usually have to order a few hundred because I have people that want to buy them from me that, you know, live around here, so
I wanted to thank you for bringing one in for me to read.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'll be looking for that later on. I love giving you a hard time. 2 minutes left to go here. We've got some books. They're called Heart and Souls, Lost and Found, Spice and Sassy, Charms and Chills, Red Wine and Black Roses, and Linda K. Richardson. Now, how do people get a hold of these books if they wanted to purchase one or all of them?
Okay, well, there's different ways. They can email me at rdrlkr@comcast.net.
Okay.
And also I have a website. They want to check out the books. It's called Sister, that's S-I-S-T-E-R, spirit2.com.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/sisterspirit22.
Okay. And do you answer all your mail?
I do.
Because I know I sent you a couple emails and you ignored it.
Yeah, when?
The other day.
You did not send me any emails. So you didn't have my email.
Oh, I guess maybe I did then. Maybe I lied.
Maybe you did. I try to answer all. I try to answer.
Now, are you on Amazon?
I am.
Okay.
So my book is on Kindle, in Kindle format.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Linda, thank you for coming. It's been a blast. I had a lot of fun with this, and I wish you the best of luck. And would you do me a favor? Will you come back and join us again sometime?
Oh, I'd love to.
All right. And again, it's called the Spirit of Love series, right?
That's the first series, and then History and Mystery series.
History and Mysteries. All right. And Linda K. Richardson was our guest today, and you come back again.
Thank you very much for having me, Terry.
We are just about out of time. A big thank you to our special guest, Linda K. Richardson. Remember, you can catch our show each and every Saturday at 10 a.m. and an encore presentation Sundays at 11 a.m. only on Salem's original radio station. We are 104.3 FM, 1220 AM. This is KSLM. Hey, we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat at 22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet. And I can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
That's a wrap. Good job, folks. And we're off. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everybody.